As a mother holds a baby and loves it and cares for it and nourishes it and dresses it and feeds it and enjoys it, she sees God's grace and one more opportunity, one more chance, one more time. She sees that God's let another person be born into the world, and she looks at the world and everything she knows, and she sees the sky as the limit for this child. And at one point in time, that child was you. Thank you, mothers. Praise the Lord. I am glad that God gave me a mother. I'm glad that God gave me a wife. I want to recognize several mothers this morning. First mother I want to recognize is a mother who has lived in the most states. How many mothers have lived in one state? All of you, probably. How many of you have lived in at least two states? Okay, three states. Four states. Going strong. Five. How many have lived in every state? No. How many have lived in five states? Six. Seven. You have to name them. All right, Miss Mary, how many states have you lived in? Did you live in Washington, D.C. also, or just worked there? Okay. That's a lot of states. Let's give her a hand. Okay, now, the mother who has a child that is the least weight when born. Least weight when born. Weighed the least, had the smallest baby. All right. Anybody have a baby that was 6 pounds and lower? Okay. How about 1 pound? No. Five? Ooh. Deborah's got this hands down. What is it, Deborah? 5 pounds, 5 ounces. Let's give her a hand. Oh, 5'2". Let's give her a hand. All right. The mother here who has the most grandkids. Does anybody have 100? Does anybody have 30? Does anybody have 2? Does anybody have 17? All right, Miss Mabel, you're a winner on this one. I was sitting at the table talking about having grandkids and how some people find that very easy, but it's not as easy as you might think. And then I looked at all the kids for a while, was silent, but we're looking forward to that day at some point. But I want to tell you a story about a fellow who was rather wealthy, and he wanted to send a special gift to his mother on Mother's Day. He went to the pet store, and he found this amazing talking bird. The bird could whistle Amazing Grace, and it could recite Psalms 23. It was an incredible bird. So he decided to buy it before he found out how much it was. It was $30,000. He didn't care. He had the money. He pulled out his $30,000, and he bought the bird. and he had it specially shipped to his mother. On Mother's Day, he made the call. And he said, "Mom, how did you like that bird I sent you?" She said, "Oh, son, it was delicious." Take your Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Son, it was delicious. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, look with me down in verse 5. This is an encouragement letter from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, who he calls his son in the faith. And the Apostle Paul had taken Timothy under his arm, under his wing, and he had worked with him, he had taught him, he had discipled him. And Timothy actually went on missions trips with the Apostle Paul. They had worked together for the Lord. The Apostle Paul had helped him to equip him for the ministry, and he's encouraging him in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. And he says in verse 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." This means that it's genuine, it's not pretend, it's not a show that he put on. It was a place that he really had a true faith for God. So when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that is which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now I want you to know that a true, sincere faith from God does not just come down the family line biologically. It's not natural. It's supernatural. You're not a Christian. You're not saved just because your parents were. You're not a Christian because this has been called a Christian nation. You will be a Christian only if you trust Jesus Christ for your salvation. If you confess your sins and trust Christ's sacrifice on the cross, his death for you. Here is Timothy, and he has this faith, but was handed down from grandma. Was handed down from grandma to mom to Timothy himself. Now, Timothy has a unique situation. We know that his mother was a Jewess and that his father was a Roman or a Greek. His father was not a Jew, that he was not part of the Jewish nation or faith. Now, we don't have a lot of details on that, but it did leave Timothy with a big gap in his life. And we have a big gap, a place missing in many families, in many places, for men or male leadership. And in the void of that, a lot of ladies have had to step up. They've had to step up and they've had to be some things that are awkward and difficult, or some things that they don't have the knowledge or understanding or experience to do. God's plan for a family is for mommy and a daddy, and they'll raise that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, God takes and works with a lot of things that are broken. And he blesses in a lot of places. I want to just stop for a minute. Say today we look and observe Mother's Day. And some of you ladies are mothers. And it's a gift of God. Sometimes you might be looking at that child and saying, these kids are driving me crazy. I just need some me time. I need some alone time. I need to go do some retail therapy. I need to get away from this. But those children are a blessing and a gift from God. Jackie and I discussed before we were married, what if we had problems having children? Now, that wasn't the way it occurred for us. But that was one of our discussions. And we discussed everything. Right down to whether she's going to make me a lunch when I went to work. Isn't that interesting, Cleon? Yeah, it's a good thing. I said, Jackie, if we can't have kids, there's some unwanted kids somewhere that we'll take to our heart. I said that to transition this. There's some people here that would love to have children and don't. There's a group of people that approach Mother's Day wishing they were some mother. I'll never forget, it was my job one time to hand flowers out to all the ladies coming out of church. And one of the young people that would have really liked to have the child and did not, and I said, well, why don't you just take a flower anyways? And it hit a certain trigger of frustration and anger and anguish. And I got all that out at once. And I got the message too. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, that God loves you. He knows right where you're at. He cares about every lady. He cares, touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He knows about the mothers who are single mothers. He knows about the mothers who their children are a little past their tutelage. They'd still like to help them out a little bit. He puts a lot of things in the Bible about us honoring and paying attention to our mothers, even when they're old. My mom would say, no matter how big you get, you're always going to be my little baby. When I talk to her on the phone now, she says, James, don't forget that you're a sparkle in my heart and you're the twinkle in my eye, and I love you very much, and I loved you before you loved me. Hey, Mom, I can't top all that. I love you very much. Here we have the most important thing that could be passed on to children. Timothy's grandma and his mom have passed on to him a true, consistent, steady faith of God. Now, I've told you this plenty of times. My mom was praying when I was younger that I would be a preacher, and I was asking God if maybe he could do something else with me. He could make me let me fly airplanes or go do something else, but not be a preacher. And I could kind of see this in my mind, God taking those two prayers. And he's going, James, Charlotte Beatty. James or Charlotte Beatty. I tell my nephews, if grandma starts praying for you, you might as well give up. You don't have a chance. God likes her better than he likes you. Timothy had this faith. It dwelt and remained in him. It would continue in him until the end of his life, a true faith in God's abiding grace. Now, I think all parents desire for their children something better. Sometimes whatever that something is a little ambiguous, but we want something better. The better goes to something better than we had for ourselves. Something better than was our own experience. Something better. One of the things that my parents influenced me to do was to go to college. I'm not the only person in my family that went to college. But I am the only person that finished it. And I remember going to college and working and going right through the summer and going again and going right through the summer. I was concerned that if I took a break for the summer, I might not have the gumption to get back and do it again. I was living with so little sleep and such a difficult schedule. I know Brother Jackson lived like that when he was in college also. But my mom and dad gave me the support, the encouragement, and the early teaching and training that was necessary to have me finish. I believe that Timothy is looking here and he has this faith, and it's a faith that finished. Abraham Lincoln said that no one is poor who has a godly mother. He went on to say, I remember my mother's prayers. They have followed me and have clung to me all of my life. All that I am and hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Have you ever heard your mother say that she wanted you to live up to your full potential? You ever heard that, Zane? You ever heard that, Zach? I want you to live up to your full potential. Anybody else ever heard that from their mom? You know what it is. As a mother holds a baby and loves it and cares for it and nourishes it and dresses it and feeds it and enjoys it, she sees God's grace and one more opportunity, one more chance, one more time. She sees that God's let another person be born into the world, and she looks at the world and everything she knows, and she sees the sky as the limit for this child. And at one point in time, that child was you. A mother always wants more for a child. She sees a great potential. She has big dreams for what you could be. Her goal is not to raise you to be an adult who just scrapes and gets by. She wants to see you be someone successful, someone important, someone who does great things. My mom was not shy about telling me that she wanted me to do great things for God with my life. Said, James, if you would just give your life to the Lord and you would serve Him, I'd be completely satisfied. Your mom does not want you to sell yourself short. As I was going into the prisons, I learned about this program. The program was put together by a few of the card companies. It might have been Hallmark. And they went to the prisons with a bunch of cards. And they let the prisoners send out Mother's Day cards. And they helped them with writing out the cards and getting them addressed. And they helped with getting the mailing done. They just made it a service that they went and did. And they projected their response, and they brought cards, and the response was overwhelming. They ran out of cards. So they thought, Father's Day's in a couple weeks. We'll come back for Father's Day. And we're going to really be ready for Father's Day. We'll have more cards, and we ain't going to run out. Very few people incarcerated responded and tried to send their father a card. There is a special connection. D.L. Moody said, the love of God, the closest thing to it on earth is the love that a mother has for her children. I want to look at another scripture with you and another mother in the Bible. Look with me in Matthew chapter 20 and go down to verse 20. I think you're going to be very interested by this. I'm sure you've heard it before with a perhaps different context. This mother wanted something very special for her children. She had some big dreams for them. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring of him a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on the left hand, in thy kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we are able. I want you to know, first of all, she had no clue what she was asking exactly, and they had no clue what they were committing to. I want you to look at Jesus' answer in verse 23. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. But it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Now, we usually look at this scripture and it goes, oh, bad, foul. That lady had no business going and asking Jesus for that. That's not what Jesus did when he talked to her. He did not even rebuke her. She came with her sons. I want you to see her approach. She came in unity with their family. She came in a place of parental leadership to them. She came in wisdom. I'm just thinking about this, and I've thought about it a few different ways. I'm thinking about 6 weeks. If Jackie was to get Zane and Zach and say, guys, come on, I'm going down to where you work, and I'm going to ask them to make you the vice presidents of the company. Zach go, Mom, please don't do this. Then he go, Mom, if they think that we deserve it, they're going to kind of... give us advancements through the company as they see fit. Mom, it's just going to be embarrassing. Please, please don't do this. Here's the sons of Zebedee. Jesus called them by the seashore. They left their father and their servants in the ship, and they came and they followed Jesus, and they followed him the rest of their lives with sin and in their martyr. They did drink the same cup. They were baptized with the same baptism. They came together with their mom. You see these two sons, not only following and submitting to Jesus Christ, but their mom gets this idea that she's going to go ask Jesus this thing, and they come along with her. And I want you to see her attitude. As she approaches Jesus, she is worshiping him and letting him know that she has a certain request. Her attitude is reverence and worship. She's not coming before him and demanding this thing. She's coming forward just to ask. We know that Jesus is, he offered once for all, and he sat down on the right hand of God the Father. Is there really a place for somebody to sit between him and God? I don't think so. She didn't know that. She wanted her sons to be permanently linked to Jesus Christ. Well, no, that ain't the aspect we usually take when we think about this story, is it? She said, man, I want my sons to partner up with you and all the way through to the end. I want them to be in your kingdom, sitting on the right and left. She believed in Christ. She believed in the kingdom. Now, her ideas about it were not correct. She didn't see the spiritual kingdom. She was thinking about the earthly and political kingdom. But she still wanted her sons, one side and the other of Christ. Her approach is she unified her family and they went together. Her grown adult sons. It might have felt a little awkward about her questioning. I think about this, you know. Sometimes when the family gets together, there's a little teasing that goes on. It says that grandma's favorite is Uncle Paul. And Uncle Paul was going to get a job one time, and he was going to the job, and mother, my mom, is like, oh, Paul, let me be your reference. When they call me, you know, when they call the mother as a reference for a job, they disregard everything she says. They want to hear it from some unbiased source. Here's their mother talking to Jesus. And she was willing and able, and she did go when she asked him this. Now, the focus was on the wrong thing for all of them. But I want you to know her heart was in the right place. Her approach was unity of the family. Her attitude was worship. And her appeal was pretty big dreams, wasn't it? Okay, one more thing I want to look at. Look in Mark chapter 10. First, we have a mother's faith, Timothy to his children. We have a mother's favor. The sons of Zebedee, his mother going to Jesus. And in Mark 10, we have a mother's friend. In Mark 10 and verse 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. They talk about all the shoe leather and everything, and it's usually in politics. They talk about pressing flesh or shaking hands and kissing babies. And it goes back to looking at this in the Bible. Here comes the who brought these children to Jesus that he would touch them. Their mothers. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Oh, that more mothers would bring their children to Jesus that they could be touched. It's been a concern of Jackie and I that we have our values and our thoughts, and we have our traditions and our family and our ideas and our faith and our God to be impressed into the life of our children. When you look at our children and you look for fingerprints, you see, oh, this is something that a pastor taught the children. Oh, this is something that Miss Jackie taught the children. Oh, and good, just go through their lives. We wanted to be the influence on their lives. We wanted to hand down what God had given us. And these ladies brought their children to Jesus that Jesus would touch them. We have brought our children to Christ again and again and again. And it's our intentions to bring them again and again and again in the future. If they forget about me, if they forget about their mom, it's not going to be a humongous deal in the whole history of the world. But if they forget about God, if they forget about the blessings of the Scripture, if they forget about a Savior, Jesus Christ, all is lost. The disciples rebuked these mothers. Can't you see Jesus got important stuff to do? In 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. And verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. So many times we say, God bless you. We say, God bless your family. We say, God bless your services today. We say, God bless the USA. We say, really, we say that because we can't offer much of a blessing out of our own energy and our own self. But we know God's power and grace, his goodness. I know I mentioned several mothers this morning. I just want to mention one more. There's those who have children. There's those who would like to have children. And there's those that have children outside of their authority. Haven't you wished they'd never grow up? We're just going to keep cutting off your legs as they grow longer so that you stay the same height. We want to just keep you as a baby forever. And you grow and you're independent and you start thinking for yourself. And, oh, you know how horrible that is. There's the mother of the prodigal son. There's the mother of the child who is older, who is out and who's not living right. I want you to know, mother, that you can still have your prayers cling to them. When I was in Ohio the day my dad's services, I took my mom to get her hair done. And it was a revelation to me. I took her to this couple, and the lady did her hair in the kitchen, and I sat and had a cup of coffee while they were doing that, and I talked to them, and they were Christians. And the husband came, he started talking to me, and we had this fellow that was, he was just a town drunk in that town. He had 15 salt and battery convictions. He didn't even talk about the times they threw it out or that it didn't go to trial or something happened. But 15 convictions. And this guy said, yeah, I remember when me and another fella started fasting and praying for him. And we prayed that God would make him miserable until he accepted Christ. He said that this man found out that they were praying for him, and he came and he said, my life is miserable. Quit praying for me. My dad got to go to that house, see somebody he knew when he was in fourth and fifth grade. This man was my Uncle Larry's best friend. He went in the house, and the guy came out and said, preacher, if you're here for my money, you can forget about it. Let's just go out in the front yard and fight. My dad said, I'm not here about your money. I'm here for your soul. I never knew that there was other Christians and other people involved and other prayers going up. And sometimes we don't get to see who weeded or who watered along the way. You cannot underestimate the value of your prayers before God. A consistent, steady, humble position. We have the story of the unjust judge, and the woman keeps coming every day and finally says, "Oh, this woman is driving me crazy. I'm just going to render a judgment in her favor so she'll leave me alone." He says, if that evil judge could give a good decision because of persistence, how about God for you and something that is right and just and holy and wholesome? Jesus said, "Suffer these little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." He said, "Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child, he shall not enter therein." If you have not come to the place in your life where you have received Christ as your Savior, if you've accepted him with a childlike faith, if you just simply believe that you are a sinner, that your sins caused you a problem and a penalty of death and eternity in hell, and here's God intervening with the life of his Son, Jesus Christ, and receive Christ as your Savior. If you have not had that experience, he's ready today. Just like he was ready to receive these children, and he took them up in his arms, he put his hands on them and blessed them. If you haven't received Christ, let today be the day of your salvation. I'll mention this Wednesday. A couple years ago, I went to a funeral service for Rhoda's mother. And the next year on Mother's Day, Rhoda's come and told me, "Special, call your mom. Appreciate her." And I knew she was saying, "I can't call my mom." If death or circumstances have separated you, find somebody to adopt. Find somebody to adopt and love on. Find someone to honor and love. Find a person in God's house to cherish. Let's all stand.
You've been listening to a message from the pulpit of Town Center Baptist Church in Happy Valley, Oregon. We invite you to come visit us at 10505 Southeast 85th Avenue in Happy Valley. If we can be of help to you, please call us at 503-659-4494. We wish you God's very best.